Today's message title is Realize the Danger. Can you say that with me? Realize the danger. And if this is the first time you've been in a church service at Fellowship, this is how we do. We use the big screen. All the scriptures will be up there. And I rattle on like this, okay? This is how we do it. I'll get you to repeat things with me. Why? You had children, didn't you? Now you tell me you just heard what I said. And you know, that's how we do it here. Why? So it'll sink in. I want to learn something today. I want to go out different today. There's not a reason in the world that if you go through these four little sermons I've got on the book of Jude, that not a time should ever happen again where you don't go through the book of Jude and go, you know what? I know that little book. I know what that book's talking about. Okay? So that's what we're trying to accomplish and try to help us with our faith. Let's look at it. And we're flying now. The little book of Jude was originally intended to be a nice letter. That's what Jude wanted to do. But God the Holy Spirit had other plans in Jude's life. So Jude, instead of writing a nice letter, he wrote a stern warning to the church about a big old fancy word called, say it with me, apostasy. Apostasy. What does that word mean? Apostasy is a deliberate turning away and departing from the faith. That's what apostasy is. It's when anyone, any church, any pastor, any Christian, anybody turns away from thus says the Lord. Amen? We're not talking about things in the Bible that's debatable or whatever. But I'm telling you something. If it says it, that's what it says and that's what it means. Got it? Apostasy is when you get to the place where you go, oh, the Bible didn't mean that. Oh, I know he had one son, you know, but he probably got four or five others we ain't heard about. You can't think like that. That's apostasy. Amen? Now, God calls this sin wrong, and it's terrible, and it's, yes, in the Bible, but you know what? It don't really mean that. So all of a sudden, you don't have a mooring anymore. You don't have something anchored anymore. And tough times come, and you get blown away. This little book says tough times are coming in the last days. This little book is the last book before the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And before that book is 2 Peter talking about, and different books towards the end of the Bible talk about the last days. So it's really, really, really important. Okay, so far, what have we seen in our other two messages? We saw that we need to recognize the problem. And he laid out the problem of apostasy and turning away from God's Word. Secondly, we saw remember some history last week. Remember some history last week? God took us back in the book of Jude to Old Testament stories, and we could see how that they turned away. And when they turned away, did he turn a blind eye to it, or were they judged for it? Somebody tell me. They were what? They were judged for it. Just because you're going through hard times, God isn't going to understand you turning from your faith. Oh, I know, you got it rough at your house, so that's okay. On our worst day, we're still better than 99% of the world. Did y'all know that? Say. Just in this service, in an hour alone, I forget how many, but like 15,000, 20,000 children will die in our world just in this 1 hour of starvation. And that's just under the age of 5. You see what I'm saying? So God's not going to excuse us, regardless of what we're going through, if we turn away from His Word. Y'all got it? Yes or no? Okay, good. Let's keep going. Today, we're in this message right here, the third one in the series, Realize the Danger. So here we go, Rod. Let's check it out. Let's see what we got. To depart and turn away from the faith, turning away from God's Word, and thus says the Lord, is a rejection of God's divine authority. That's why God won't turn a blind eye to it. All right, you try that at work. Try it at work. Try your boss at work. He tells you to do something. This is the way you do it. You go, forget you. I'll do what I want to do. Your butt will be fired. Excuse me, right? Yes or no? But we think we can reject God's Word. We can turn from God's Word, and somehow that's okay. See, you can see the boss man. You don't see the boss man. Amen? And so somehow we think we can get by with stuff. No, sir. Okay? And it's just important. I know it's hard preaching, but that's what you need. We need that. In hard times, remind me of what's important in my life. Remind me of what's holding me. What I should be standing on. That's your faith in Jesus and the Word of God. Amen? So Jude says that this rejection of God's authority, this turning away from the faith, and don't go to sleep on me here, okay, happens in three ways. He lays it out in this one verse. And we haven't missed a verse yet, and we're not going to. Verse 8. Likewise, building on what he talked about last week, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. That's why I'm taking it slower in this time going through it. Because you might go, what the heck does that mean, right? Let's dig into it. Let's look at it. The first thing that happens when a church, a movement turns away from the faith, individuals turn from the faith, the first point Jude is making is that they or we, I didn't want to just point fingers this morning, we're delusional. Where do I get that from? This word right here. Filthy dreamers in verse 8 means to live in a dream world. It means to live in unreality and delusion. What do I mean? You can think all day that there's a giant scale in heaven, and that if you do good and your good outweighs your bad, there's a big scale in heaven, and if it goes good for you, you'll go to heaven. You're living in a dream world. That's apostasy. That's not reality. You can go to sleep at night. Oh, I'm okay because I did good works today and I'm very good. I'm going, okay. Well, you just had a dream before you even went to sleep. You're not okay. The Bible says we've all sinned. The Bible says we need a Savior. Y'all listening? You can say, think positive thoughts and you'll be better and be positive and be happy and be good. And you know what? No doubt, change your attitude will probably help you some. It's not going to get you from Inglewood to heaven. Are y'all listening? Say. See, we're delusional. When we get away from the Bible, when we get away from God's Word, we become delusional. Many of you here today would say, Pastor, I screwed up my life pretty good by myself. That's God's point. Without Him, you're living in a dream world. Okay? I don't care. You can go around the circle. I can't take forever on this point. But you can get yourself, oh, what about all these other religions? They're good people. They work so hard. If they're not in Christ, they're not in Christ. Do y'all understand that or not? Say. If believing in a false religion is different than believing in Jesus, then that ain't going to fly. To me, that really helps me. It simplifies things for me. Amen? So that's the first thing Jude says. Number two, when you depart from the faith, we are defiling. Look at this next one. The word defiling the flesh in verse 8 means to live free and disobey God's law and do as one pleases. Okay? You can do that. God will let you live life like you want to live it. But don't try to turn it somehow and put a little Christian hat on top of its head. You listening? That's what we do. Well, I can do that. You know, that church, they're just real strict. They think if you're married, you ought to stay with the same woman, not have sex with somebody else. Yeah, we do! Okay? And I don't want to be... Well, anyway, I'm going to hush right there. All right? Okay? Defiling. It is a defilement of our life and our flesh when we say, yeah, it says this in God's Word, but I don't believe it means that, and I'm going to do this. You end up defiling yourself. And God doesn't look down at you. You can dress up as pretty as you want to and come on Sunday. But the fact of the matter is, God looks down there at a defiling, cankering, nasty-smelling human being. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to do good. Sure, you should. But you should do that because you believe in Jesus, because you believe in the Bible, because He's motivating you through the Spirit. Amen? And not changing His Word. I don't know if you're getting it. Hope you didn't miss that. The third thing Jude says, and the reason I'm going over these is because we're going to build the whole message on it. So number one, somebody who turns from the faith, when we turn or depart from the book, the Word of God, we're delusional. Aren't there some crazy churches out there? Yes or no? Come on. And crazy movements. I mean, years ago in the early 1900s, I can't go too far down this path, but years ago in the early 1900s, a lady's walking on ice, she slips and falls. gets up and forms a new church movement called the Christian Science Movement. Mary Baker, Glover, Patterson, Eddie, or whatever, okay? Okay? She said, I'm healed! After she had her fall on the ice, she was miraculously healed, but she always walked like this. Excuse me. What I'm saying is we would go and we would laugh. That's funny. But you know what we do? We start thinking things and believing things that are not in the Bible at all, and we think we're not going. And that's how God sees us. You know? Listen. Delusional. Defiling the flesh. God will let you go as far as you want to. Sure. Doesn't affect Him any. His Word's not going to change on it. The third thing Jude says, when we get away from the faith, the Word, are divisive. Divisive. In that verse he says, to speak evil of dignitaries. The word speak evil, and he's talking in the context of this book that he's writing about the last days. To speak evil means to blaspheme. Keep going. We become divisive when we do this. A person blasphemes God when he takes God's word lightly, or when he deliberately defies God to judge him. It's divisive. It's an awful thing to prove your point that you can live free and do whatever you want by putting down somebody who stands for God's word. Do you hear me or not? So it's divisive. When thus says the Lord, but you're going to go, well, no, it really don't mean that. All of a sudden, you've got a schism and you've got a split, and that's where apostasy goes. Okay, and that's what happens. And that's what Jude's talking about here. And I know it's a little deep. Psalm 73:9 says, they set their mouth against the heavens, their tongue walks through the earth. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? It's interesting, these crazy lunatic debates that you see sometimes. Somebody believes the Bible, they make him look like a lunatic, and they pick the guy with the greatest education, all these degrees, and he can just explain everything away. God says, you're divisive. I've given you a book, read it, believe it. You can act as smart as you want to, but the bottom line is, you're divisive if you get away from God's word. Amen? Y'all hearing me, yes or no? Churches just didn't start one day, and movements just didn't start usually. It usually started because somebody was mad. They were mad at the authority in the church. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses was started by a man named Charles Taz Russell. Who was Charles Taz Russell? He was a shirt salesman. Late 1800s. What did he do? He went to a Bible study. They were talking about Jesus coming again. Jesus is coming again. As far as we know, it was fairly biblical. In that Bible study, they were talking about it. Till he got mad. He didn't agree with it anymore. So guess what Charles Taz Russell went out and did? He started his own what? Thing. He started his own movement. Today it's called Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? His kooky, views about end-time events, and especially the 144,000, all this stuff started from a man named Charles Taz Russell. People get mad as a hornet at me when I preach like this on the radio. They call me, okay? And they get so upset because I'm being divisive. I'm supposed to be divisive if you're not preaching God's Word! Are y'all listening or not? Am I supposed to get along and let everybody go to hell? Say, it's craziness! Anyway, listen. That's what happens when you get away from God's Word. You can see it in church business meetings. I'm not talking about falling off a cliff with some new doctrine, but it's so interesting to see how ugly things can turn when we get away from the Bible, from the Word of God. So in tough times, you need to hang on to that Word. Amen? So those three things, and I know I went a long way. Look at these next two verses. They're crazy verses. Look at them. Not even Michael was divisive like this, the archangel, when he fought the devil over bearing body of Moses. I know it's crazy talk, but look what the Bible says. Verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when he contended or fought with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, say it with me, the Lord what? Rebuke you. Sometimes the Bible will teach something, and we can get in our crawl so much that we believe something that really it's not teaching. We can get upset. We can talk bad about people. We can talk bad about the pastor. Oh, he's preaching this. Did you know, listen, did you know that Michael, the archangel, wasn't even that divisive when he fought against the devil? Did you know the place of the Christian is not for you and me to be divisive? We're to find unity with each other, and our unity is based in, guess what? Scriptures. That's how we keep unity. Keep looking. Realize the danger. It's dangerous to reject God's divine authority. And I hope I didn't lose you already. Let's review real quick. It's what? Delusional. It's number two, defiling. Number three, it's divisive. Okay? So let's keep looking and see what we see. Jude then gives us three examples. If you really want to read the book of Jude and just really get to know it real well, you can go to our website, see all our notes, download everything there. But Jude speaks in threes. He breaks this whole book down into three, 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 three. I mean, it was pretty amazing. So when you study it, you'll notice that. So we just looked at three things, and now look, he gives us how many examples? Somebody tell us. How many examples did we have last week? Somebody tell us. Yeah. Jude 11, verse 11. So he gives three examples of what he just talked about, delusional, defiling, and divisive. He says, woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain. They've ran after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, I don't have all day to tell all those Old Testament stories, but he basically hangs his hat on each one of those points he just made, delusional. What's the second one? Defiling. The third one. Divisive. Let's go with the first one. He hangs his story on it. He gives you a picture. Cain was delusional. What kind of sacrifice did Cain bring to offer to God? I can't tell you how many churches today, if you preach about the blood of Jesus, they'll ask you, now you ain't going to preach that blood and stuff, are you? Pardon me? What did Jesus shed on the cross? Somebody tell me. His what? Blood. We're saved by the precious blood of who? Jesus. That's what the Bible says. But see, he gives this example of Cain bringing this offering, and it was a bloodless sacrifice. And did God accept that offering, or did he reject it? Somebody tell me. He rejected it. He was delusional. Look, I got me a nice offering. No, you don't. I don't accept that, God says. So churches, individuals that believe they can get to heaven, get their sins forgiven without the shedding of blood. Matter of fact, God says it this way. Help me if you know it. Without the shedding of blood, fill in the blank, there is no remission of what? Sins. Got it? You're delusional. Let's take a quick test. How many people went to church before in your life, and you went, and you might have went for a while, and you went there, and you never heard the gospel, and you were just delusional? Can I see a few hands in the house? There you go. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That fellowship won't be that if I'm here. You hearing me that right now? I'm not going to get up with a hurt back on Sunday morning and preach something that ain't worth a dime. Amen? The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all what? Sin. Hallelujah. You're just delusional. Let's look at the next one. Defiling. He says Balaam. Balaam was a prophet in the Old Testament. You'll have to read the story. He basically sold out his own people, the children of Israel, for guess what? Money. Do you think a lot of the church today and what you see in your world today are people that are in religious situations that are taking people's money? Yes, yes or no? A lot of thieves, a lot of crooks. Amen? It's defiling. He was a money-grubbing prophet. Okay? It's apostasy, and I'm going to be ugly today. You turn on your Christian television, and they're telling you, God told me, if you read, I read Psalm 66:11, God told me for you to give $66.11. You need to look at the TV and go, that's apostasy. Okay? Y'all listening or not? See, we all fall prey to this. Well, but they said God told them. Does it say that in the Bible? Well, they gave me Psalm 66:11. That ain't what it says, fool. Amen? It's defiling. He gives that example. Let's look at the third example. Divisive. Turning from the faith, departing from the faith. preaching something other than Jesus is divisive. He gives the example of Korah. Who was Korah? Korah was in the Old Testament. The authority God had been working through Moses. Korah and 250 other leaders got together and said, "We don't believe the way you're doing it. We don't like your plan for the church. We don't like it. It's all, we're going to do it our way." So they rebelled. They were divisive against the "thus says the Lord" that Moses was telling them. So what happened to them? They rebelled against God's man. And y'all know it. What happened to this Korah and 250 men? Somebody tell me. The earth did what? Boy, y'all know your Bible. I feel like I'm preaching to some of the choir today. It's a good reminder for us, though, isn't it, guys? Say, I need to stay firm. I need to stay strong on the Word. Amen? Yeah, the earth opened up and swallowed them. But apostasy is so divisive. If you keep on reading, almost 15,000 people actually died because of that division. Amen? So let's keep going. So departing from and turning away from the faith, let's review. It's what? Delusional. It's what? Defiling. It's what? Divisive. Y'all got it so far? Feeling okay? Jude goes on. Let's keep looking. This is how God sees it. We're not going to take forever on this. But if you keep reading, you'll see when God looks at movements, even individuals who turn from their faith and follow another faith, they get away from the Word of God. This is how God sees that. Even if you can't read, you can see pictures, baby. And God says, I want to remind you of what it looks like when somebody does that. I'm not happy with it. 12a, the first part. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. So God says, first of all, I look down and I see on my earth people that are turning away from God's Word, not teaching God's Word. It looks like a cancer. Got it? Actually, the word for spots can be translated hidden rocks. You think you're sailing along fine in your faith, and you're doing good, baby, and you've departed from the Bible, all right? And look, you can say what you want to and live like you want to, and it looks like your ship's sailing fine, but baby, there's one of them under the boat, a hidden rock that will devastate your faith and destroy your life. Stay with the Bible. You listening? Spots. Philippians, Paul says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Boy, Paul didn't mince any words, did he? Well, I thought we're supposed to be nice and love people when they say the Bible's not true and all that stuff. Paul said, beware of them. That's what he said. Okay? Look at the second thing. This is how God sees it. First one was spots. Second thing, clouds that are without water carried about with winds. That's what happens when we get away from the Bible. I know I'm beating a dead horse, it sounds like here, but I'm trying hard to keep you focused, okay? That's what happens. When you get away from the Bible and you start to go with the touchy-feely whatever, let me tell you something, you become like a cloud without water. What's a cloud good for? It's good for giving us what? Rain! Okay? And that's what happens when you don't anchor yourself in the water of the Bible says you're clean by the washing of the water of the Word. If you're not in the Word of God, you'll be like a cloud that's just moving around doing nothing with your life for God. Matter of fact, Ephesians puts it this way. Therefore, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every what? Wind of what? Doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Stay anchored in the Word. Tough times, good times. Otherwise, you're just going to be drifting. Got it? Keep looking. Trees whose fruit withers without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. So he says, God says, I see spots. I see clouds. I see trees. Trees are good for producing what? Fruit. I see them. They're all withered up. That's what will happen in the last days. Not bearing any fruit. This psalm, blesses the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, guess what? Say it with me. Is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. That's what Jude's talking about. Stay firm, stay focused, stay fixed in your faith in the last days. Jude 13a, he says, God looks down and says, I see raging waves of the sea foaming out their shame. A lot of people can talk a big talk about their about religion. Big talk, okay? God looks out and says, you know what, that's just some big old loud mouth wave. And all that's coming out of his mouth is foam. It's useless. If you're not in the Bible, believe the Bible, teach the Bible, anchored in the faith of the Word of God, that's what you become, a big old loud mouth. Okay? God says, I don't want that for you. Isaiah says it this way, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. All right? Talk loud as you want to. If you're wrong and you're not anchored in the Scripture, talk to the cows, come home. The next one, the last picture he sees, Jude 13b, he says, they're wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Does this sound like God likes people that depart from the faith? Yes or no? Oh, no. He don't like that at all. This is the kind of message, though, if you got a new church, young church, you know, this isn't a popular message and to make you feel good today. But this is a message, though, that if you listen and quit just acting like a child in your faith, this is the kind of thing that can make you strong. You hearing me today? Say, some of this needless arguing we do over Scripture is stupidity. Man, it's not what I don't know about the Bible that bothers me, it's what I do know. Amen? And I ought to keep hanging in there. And you too. He says, I see wandering stars when I look down. They're reserved for darkness. That's a meteorite or some kind of, what is that? Comet? Okay, same thing. Not really. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I know it's not saying that. But anyway, the point is, he used that word wandering star. Did you know you can navigate a ship, and people who navigate ships follow stars? Because they're fixed. There's something you can rely on. That's the Word of God. That is your star, man. That's what keeps you going in the right direction. It won't move on you. But if you start believing every wind of doctrine, if you start thinking this, and the Bible doesn't say that, and all this kind, all you are is a fallen star. That rhymes. Amen? That's all you are, is a fallen star. God says, I can't stand that. Here's what the Bible says. Philippians, that you be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Say that with me. Among whom you what? Shine as lights in the what? World. Our world needs to know that there's somebody out there that's standing true to God's Word. Amen? And you need to be that person. You need to be that person in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your school. You need to be that person who, when they come to know Jesus, they might come to you because you've stayed fixed. Amen? What did Jesus say? Let your light so what? Shine. He said also, a light that's set where? On a what? Hill. We don't need to be wandering. And that's what happens when you get away from the Word. We're rolling down here. God is God and we are not. Can you say that with me like you mean it? Here we go. God is God and we are. That's the whole point of the book of Jude. Don't ever forget that. This little 25-verse book. I'm God, God says. I wrote this book. I gave my son. You had zip squat to do with it. You found Jesus through this book. You stay in this book. Amen? It won't fail you. Okay? God's Word is our authority. You might ask what I believe here at Fellowship. Here's what I believe. I believe every word in the Bible is true. There's plenty of churches you can go to around here that won't tell you that. Okay? And that might run some of you off, and so be it. Good. I don't need people in my life that are trying to get me to question the book. I believe every word in that book. I don't understand it all. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Listen. That's who we are. That's who we are here at Fellowship. We believe the Bible. That's what I have to preach. That's what I want to preach. That's where we get our mission statement. We love Jesus and we love people. I didn't get that off a poster somewhere. That came right out of the Word of God. Amen? So that's who we are. We're anchored there. God's Word is our authority. In case somebody asks you, what they preach over at that fellowship church, you need to say, Pastor Clark preaches the Bible. Pastor Clark believes every word in the Bible. Okay? And that means for my life, too. I've had lots of screw-ups and mess in my life. God had to change and work on me. And God's Word is the authority that helped me do that. And I'm still doing it. Amen? So keep that in mind. Jude 14 and 15, two more crazy verses. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all. Jude's favorite word under the Holy Spirit was the word ungodly in this little 25-verse book. He says, one day God's coming back. Jesus is coming back, and He's going to judge those who departed from the faith or taught something other than what the book teaches. He's going to execute judgment upon all. He's going to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they've ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. That's a lot of ungodlies in one verse, isn't it? Here's the point. I might have a hard time convincing you God's Word is the truth this morning. You keep rejecting it, and one day you'll stand before Jesus, you'll be lost forever, and you won't argue with it. You listening? Say. Here's what you'll do. You'll cry and weep and wail and beg. But it's going to be too late. We have this moment. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, when your heart gets moved by the Holy Spirit of the living God, you do it at your own peril to walk away from the faith that was delivered to you. You understand? It's a stern warning. By the way, a lot of people for years said Jude wasn't a biblical book, shouldn't be in the Bible, because it mentioned this stuff about Enoch. That ain't in the Bible. It talks about Michael the archangel, the book of Moses, and the book of Enoch. And so for about 1,800 years after the book of Jude, this is important, about 1,800 years after the book of Jude was written, people scoffed at it. That's extra biblical. That shouldn't be in there. Well, lo and behold, in the 1800s, both the book of Moses and the book of Enoch was found. And what you see on your screen before you is a little parchment piece of the book of Enoch. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a biblical book. What it means is this. Jude was spot on. Amen? He was quoting from another source, and that's okay. Paul did it in the New Testament as well many times. The point is, here we are. We're so quick to reject the Bible, aren't we? Say, we ain't found the ark, so we don't believe in the flood. Reject it! When are you going to wake up and realize the Word of God is the real Word of God? And if I don't see something that I understand, I'm going to trust Him anyway. Amen? How many, you ain't seen Jesus. You weren't there when He died on the cross, but you believe in Him. Amen? Believe that book. Keep looking. Some final verses. Jude 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. How can you know if you've got some symptoms of apostasy? If you murmur about your church. If you complain about different things that you, I don't like the music, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. You're just an accident waiting to happen, friend. Why complain all the time when you can use your mouth to say something good about Jesus Christ? That's just some signs. Pride. Well, we did it this way. We like to do it this way. That's where most divisions come, because you think you know better than somebody else, and all of a sudden you got two people going off in a different path, and neither of you are on the Word. Arrogance. That's what Jude says it is. It's arrogant to think that your way, if it's different than God's Word, is the right way. How arrogant is that? Say, I believe if I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven. It says you're not. That's arrogant. Amen? That's rough. God's Word says it will be this way in the last days. It shouldn't surprise you that this is the world we're living in now. We need to realize the danger. And a quick checklist. Say them with me. Don't be what? Delusional. Don't be what? Defiling. Don't be divisive. Here is some do-bes. They're the opposite of all those pictures. Do be sincere. Do be grounded in the Word. Do be fruitful. Do be humble instead of proudful. Do be useful. Don't be a wandering star that nobody can count on. Be useful for God's kingdom. And then do some encouraging. Instead of being divisive, encourage others in the faith. Use that divisive energy to encourage someone in their faith. Encourage others in your service. As you serve God yourself and believe God's word and do what God's word says, encourage others by doing that. Encourage others in unity. Amen? Don't be talking about old wives' fables and this kind of mess in there. Let's get together. Man, we love God's word and we agree on God's word, what it says. Use our time better than doing that. Do some remembering the last three verses. Remember who gave us God's word, just in case you think, this ain't a John Grisham novel you're holding in your hand. Y'all listen and say. Some of you could say, I've read so many John Grishams this last year, and you haven't read the Bible. Shame on you. Excuse me. Amen? No wonder the church is going to hell in a handbasket, split up. And we got a strong church here, but it'll be weak if we keep living like that. This is what Jude said. In the last days, wake up! Verse 17, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before who? The apostles. Peter goes on and we said, we received the word of God when holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how he received God's word. Jude wanted to write a nice letter and the Holy Ghost came on him. And out came Jude. Amen? Don't take it lightly. Remember what they said, the writers of our Bible. Jude 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lust. We need to stay solid in our faith. There's going to be many that are come and draw us away. Remember why they said it. Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not the spirit. Jude gives us this warning because Satan's plan is this. He wants us divided at Fellowship Church. Are you listening? Say. He wants us divided. Satan wants us sensual. That word is the word soulish. What that means, the Spirit, you and I need to rely on God, the Holy Spirit. A person who is sensual relies on their own strength. What's in them. We need to rely on what God gave us is in us. Amen? It's the opposite of being spiritual. So last thing, Satan wants us to fight each other. In the church of Jesus Christ in the last days, he wants churches to be fighting, believing everything except the good book. And he wants us to rely on our own strength. He wants us to get so clever that we're doing it while the world goes to hell. Did y'all get it today? Realize the danger, keeping the faith in tough times.